That was a hardcore group, man. Yeah. Looks like winter's moving in. Forget about those 80 degree days, right? All right, how are we doing here?
Marcel Darius, if he returns this weekend, what kind of different look along with Kyle Williams does he give in the front of their defensive line?
Yeah, I mean, those are two great players. Yeah, two great players. Kyle's very active on everything. He's quick. He plays with good power, great motor, good pass rusher, good in the running game, productive player. Marcel's big, strong, very athletic, hard to knock off the ball, plays on his feet. I mean, they're both really good.
Significantly affect the way you approach their defensive line with Darius back? Or
I mean, he's one of the best defensive tackles in the league. So, look, you can't change the basic X's and O's, but I mean, who you're blocking is different depending on who that person is that's there. So, technique or maybe how. I'd say it's more of a technique thing. I mean, sometimes you get a little more or a little less help depending on what the priority is on a particular play, but yeah. But he's good.
Obviously, it's been a while since he's been on the field. How did Dion kind of react to getting back out on practice field?
Well, he's been out there doing things with the training staff for a long time, so it's the next step.
How hard did he have to work just to get to this point?
Dion works really hard. Like, nobody works harder than Dion.
Bill, what have been some of your impressions of Woodrow Hamilton just in his time here, you know, came in undrafted, practice squad, roster? What type of impression has he made?
Learning. You know, he's got good size, runs okay. Raw, it's a little different than some of the things he did at Mississippi. But he's learning, he's getting better. He's got, got a long way to go, but making progress. Done enough to move himself into a position where he's been active for some games, played in some games. So just keep going with him.
At Mississippi, were they 4-3 or?
They rotated a lot. I'd say his play time was probably less than 50%. 2 years ago, he's played several different positions on the line. Last year, they had him playing kind of an unusual sort of two-gapping style, for lack of a better word. The year before, he was a rotational player, more on the nose, if I remember right. But they kind of looked like they either changed their scheme or they had a couple different schemes, which were pretty different for him. It wasn't like he just lined up and did the same thing, over and over again over the last 2 years. So he's got some skill, has some development to go, has a lot to learn technique-wise, hands, block reactions, pass rush technique, those kind of things. But he's a good guy to work with.
Well, they had some success in week 4 around the Wildcat. I think they had 6 carries for 36 yards, something like that. How much practice time can you devote to a play that they don't, or a formation they're not going to run that much, but they had a decent amount of success doing?
Right, well, that's what they do. They between the Wildcat, the unbalanced line, they have kind of two different option packages. That's kind of what they force you to do. They sprinkle those plays in. They make you work on them. But they also have, I'd say, some of the more conventional plays, but they also have speed sweeps and things like that, reverses and quarterback runs that are Wildcat runs, but it's a quarterback that actually runs the ball instead of a running back, Wildcat guy. So they have a lot of things like that that force you to make adjustments, even though they're essentially running the same play. But they get to it in different ways. So, again, whether you want to call them Wildcat, unbalanced line, option, all those things, they all kind of fall into the same category. And with them, you're not going to see anything, like 30 times. You're going to see, 5 of these, 6 of these, 5 of these, 6 of these. maybe eight of something else, maybe two of something else. You don't know how, but that's kind of what they do. So, yeah, it definitely stretches it and, you know, forces you to prepare for those things that you're going to get a handful of times in the game. Might get them more if you don't stop them, but that's, you know, that's what they do, and they're pretty successful at that because they do force teams to, you know, eat up a lot of practice time working on things that you're only going to see a couple times, but then they're on to something else.
When you go into a game with depth a little shallow at a position, whether it's defensive tackle last week and maybe tight end this week, what goes into determining who becomes the emergency player at that position? Is it past experience?
Yeah, whoever's worked there. It could depend on what the game plan is or what the role is. Sometimes when you put a player into that position, you don't you realize that you're not going to ask him to do everything that you ask the player who normally plays the position to do. And so, well, if we have to make this personnel move, then we would be limited in these certain ways, and here's how we would work around that. Or maybe we don't work around it. Depends on what it is. But that's, I'd say there's somewhere, that comes up somewhere in every game. And certainly if you lose a player within the game, I mean, it's one thing to sit here and talk about it on Friday. It's another thing to talk about it, you know, Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock when somebody's out and now, you know, it was an unanticipated move, if you will. And then, okay, here's the next person we put in, but what if something happens after that? And then where it really gets, I would say, the higher degree of difficulty comes in the situational defenses, depending on where your depth is, but like things like goal line or your dime or sub defense. And then, of course, in the kicking game where you, you know, one guy, I mean, you have 66 spots on special teams, right? 11 in six different units. So that's 66 players. You can't have 66 backups. So you've got to have one guy might back up four or five things. And then if something happens to somebody and then that one person, say, gets plugged in, then you got, once you have that second injury, if it happens during the game, then, you know, it's a real scramble. So sometimes it affects your game plan, and sometimes you put the player in and you can run your game plan, but sometimes you're limited in what you could do. So, for example, if you put an offensive lineman in for a tight end, you know, you have to change some things, you know, in the passing game, maybe in protection, maybe not in the running game, possibly, or vice versa. If you put another receiver in the game, maybe you could run the same passes, but you lose that blocker that if it was a tight end. So you just have to work around that.
Looking at that from the other side, when you see a team that might be stressed and further down the depth chart, in a position that you can try and maybe explain whether it be on the offensive line or the secondary, will you try and test that spot and see what level that person's at fairly quickly, or will you just stick to your game plan and it just happens?
No, I think that we definitely try to do that. We try to take an assessment of the team. And by the chance you've had, you know, by the time after you've had time to do it, it's called the end of the first quarter just to pick a time. Yeah, you know, how's it going? You know, it looks like they're having trouble here, or it looks like so-and-so isn't very effective, or maybe a player will come off and say, you know, a defensive back will come off and say, you know, so-and-so, I don't think he can run, or I don't think he, you know, has the stopping quickness that he had the last time I played him, or whatever. So, yeah, they tell us that, and a lot of times they see it before we do. You know, sometimes we know about it. We try to, you know, have people on our staff that observe that and kind of take an assessment of where they are to confirm it with the players. You know, maybe there's something you can do about it, maybe there isn't. You know, maybe it's just that individual matchup of how that person plays them, you know, can use it to some advantage as opposed to the big scheme thing like, okay, you know, this player's limited in something, you know, what play do you want to run? Maybe it's less of that and it's more of just, okay, well, in competing against this player, this looks like weakness today. Here's how individually we want to block him or defend him or whatever the case might be.
Kind of a related question, but not identical. How much self-scouting do you guys do, whether it be position coaches or staff, on guys having tells to the way they line up, the way they run a route, the way they foot position, hand position? I know that you did a lot of that early in your career.
Right. Well, I think that's important. I mean, you know, one of the best places to start is with your teammates. So we work against each other each day, and you know what a good teammate will do. A defensive player will tell an offensive player, "Hey, I can tell when you're pulling. You know, I can see your depth, or I can see whatever it is, or vice versa." You know, a offensive player would tell a defensive player, "I can tell when you're blitzing," or we see a man coverage stance or a zone coverage stance. You know, in zone, your feet are here. When you're in man, it's a little bit different. Your hands are a little bit different, or whatever it is. So, like, a lot of it starts on the practice field, or our coaches who work against each other. You know, the receiver coach with the DBs, or DBs with the receivers, or whatever it is. You know, we'll do that and mention that, like, hey, you know.
Is it big value?
Pardon me?
Is it big value to having that cleaned up? So
well, I think if you. Look, I think if one of our players can pick it up, I think you got to assume that one of their players watching film can pick it up. You know, if it's a stance or a mannerism or, you know, whatever it is, you know, something. And, you know, I know that, you know, the quarterbacks and Josh do that with the secondary, or Matt and the defensive coaches will do that with the offensive coaches, especially in, you know, training camp, but even sometimes in the scout team stuff, you know, talk about what the quarterback saw. How did he know that this was going to happen? Well, somebody tipped it off, or, you know, defensively, how did the defense know that this was going to happen? Well, because, you know, they're not threatened by something else. We haven't run this kind of complementary play to it, and that's why it's being overplayed by a guy in practice or that kind of thing. So, I mean, we definitely try to watch, you know, ourselves, and we try to, but I think on the practice field, or on practice film, however you want to call it, that there's a good give and take there between the staff and the players to try to help each other. It's just help. I mean, look, we know what the play is. I mean, that doesn't really help us, right? I mean, what's it going to be the next time? We don't know what the play is, so we're better off telling you, hey, you're tipping off the play, because realistically, that's the way it's going to be most of the time. We're not going to know what it is.
Trey Flowers, how much does his playing strength benefit him, and does that help him maybe make up for a lack of height?
Playing strength and his length. I mean, for a shorter player, his long arms. So he's able to, you know, keep defenders off him. It's definitely an asset for him, especially playing at end against the offensive tackles. You know, his arm length is probably comparable to most tackles he plays against, and longer than, you know, a little bit longer than some of the guys he plays against inside. So he's got good strength, but his length is good, even though his height doesn't quite reflect that. His overall length is pretty good.
How hard has he had to work just, you know, after sitting out last year just to get the position he's in right now?
Yeah, Trey's worked really hard. I mean, the good thing for Trey was it happened early last year, so he was able to really by the end of the season, December to early January, be pretty much rehabbed so that he was able to start the off-season program and jump in there and have a real good spring, be full go for the spring training camp. And really, he's been out there, I'll say, you know, every day, or got to be really close to it. I don't think he's missed much, if anything. So as opposed to doing surgery at the end of the season to rehab it into the spring to maybe being ready for camp, but then having missed all the OTA days, not missed them, but, you know, not able to participate and so forth, and then not having the confidence in the start of the season that you would have if you just, I mean, if you go through an off-season program from day one, off-season program, OTAs, training camp, and you're confident. If you start at some point there, you know, in that cycle, then there's a certain period of time where you've got to gain your confidence that you're able to do the things that everybody else is out there doing. So in his case, I think that helped him having that all that done kind of early, and then being able to move on to next year. You know, it's kind of different, but, you know, like a Mike Williams scenario this year, it's bad, unfortunate, but the fact that it happened in May instead of November is better for the following year.
How does that view your reserve rules where you don't declare that a guy is coming back? How has that changed your approach to placing guys on injured reserve this year?
It really hasn't. Yeah, it really hasn't. I mean, we're fortunate. We haven't had a lot of situations to deal with. The ones we have been pretty clear-cut. And if we have an option to bring those players back, then we'll look at it at that time. We'll just have to see where how those couple, you know, like I said, we only have a couple guys in that situation, but the guys that are there, we'll have to see how they come along and, you know, evaluate it as it goes. But I think it could have a big impact. It just hasn't, you know, and now we're halfway through the season, so for something to happen at this point, kind of the rule doesn't really apply, if you will. We're pretty much, I mean, I guess it could because they have a bye week in there. But we're getting to the point where the rule is really not going to have much application, and we would only be dealing with the players that have already been given that designation.
Bill, I know you said you don't know a player until they're really in the system and see how they pick up everything that you're coaching and teaching them. Kyle Van Noy, what tells you a player like that, even though he's got 3 years NFL experience, is ready to go on Sunday?
Well, it starts with he's played. You know, a player like himself or Mingo or somebody like that, it's, you know, different than bringing you know, Woody Hamilton up off the practice squad who hasn't played. I mean, you can see those guys play, and, you know, it's a question of them really getting enough confidence, and them and their teammates have enough confidence and familiarity and communication with their teammates so that they can go out there and, you know, perform effectively. It's not going to be perfect. There's going to be, you know, other bridges to cross, but you feel like it's at a point where, you know, the player can handle it, the player's confident, his teammates are confident. I mean, you know, you can't have all the players out there wondering, you know, does this player know what to do? Do I have to tell him this? Do I have to tell him that? I mean, it's, you can't play like that. Certainly there's times where you can help each other out, but, I mean, you can't go out there just, you know, trying to do the other guy's assignment all the time. So, you know, once you get past that point, you feel confident with it, then you go do it. Sometimes you have to do it sooner than you want, and then maybe that means you have to trim back some of the adjustments or communication. If you don't have any other options and the player's just not ready, then you have to, you know, play to the level that you feel comfortable playing. Yep. All right. Okay. Got it. Thank you.